I gave Martin a raise in his allowance from $3 a week to $4 a week, which may not seem significant, but it is to
But it
him.
is. Yeah.
I told him it's because he was no longer giving me a hard time cooperating with various chores that he's asked to do, and that he does it like just without making a big deal about it, and that I told him that when he initiates it on his own, like noticing that the dishes need to be taken out of the dishwasher or the recycling taken out without my prompting, that I would give him another raise, but that for now I was giving him one because he wasn't arguing about it anymore.
Wow. How did
He
he take
loved it.
that? Oh,
He
that's
really loved
awesome.
it. He doesn't even really care much about money, but he was still delighted, I think, because of the message that came with it.
That's wonderful. Yeah.
Recognition.
Yeah, no kidding. Oh, that's great. That must have made him feel really good.
Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah, awesome. Awesome. Cool. Thanks for sharing that. Well, let's see. I'm going to go ahead and start the recording because I typically forget to do so before I forget. And just real quickly for anyone who is listening to the recording, today is, oh my gosh, December 1st. Yikes. And it is 10 a.m. Eastern time, and this is the PSS group, and I'm covering for Diane. This is Jeremy, and this week we're talking about systems and structures. So before we go ahead and dive into the training or the teaching, is there we're going to go ahead and go back around and take aim. And I'm sure you guys are experts or masters at this, but just in case you're not, we want to take aim on the change we want to see. And the reason we take aim before we talk about what kind of what's going on in the lesson today is to allow us to really focus our minds and our thoughts on something specific. And even though during the course of the conversation that we have to follow, we may change our minds or something else may come up, or we may realize that really there's something else that we need to be spending our energies on. Just the act and the practice of focusing and thinking about one change that we want to see really helps open us up to whatever the teaching is going to be today. So, you can take aim really on whatever's top of mind. If it's something that happened in the past 24 hours, if you had a challenge with, I don't know, your spouse or with your child or with a situation at school, that might be something that you want to take aim on. Or it can be something from a more of a macro level. So if you want to take a few seconds and just think about what it is you want to take aim on, and then just jump in when you're ready. We'll go from there.
Okay, I'm ready. This is
Go for
Sylvie. So, I think I'd like to really focus on getting a way to get Martin to do his homework faster.
Okay.
Like last night, he didn't have that much, but it still took so long that he was not in bed before 11, and he could have been in bed earlier than that. But there's always something to delay and all of that. So I think that would be something really, really good if we managed somehow to get him to do it faster.
Okay. And when you say faster, just clarify that for me. Does that mean you just want it done? Does that mean you want it done well? How tell me about faster.
Faster means like he stays on a task until it's done, and
Okay.
but what he does, he interrupts himself, he has something to tell me, he needs to go to the bathroom, he needs a snack. So there are all those little things that
Delay
interrupt
tactics,
a
yeah.
simple task. And
Sure.
that simple task, instead of taking 20 minutes, takes an hour.
Gotcha. Okay.
And
Okay.
if I tell him, Martin, you need to get to your work, he says, don't rush me. And he gets all, you know, agitated. And so was it last night or the night before, I said, don't say that I'm rushing you. You've been working on this for half an hour, and look, there's not much done. So he said, so he recognized right away. He said, oh, yeah, yeah. But he gets aggravated if he feels like I'm, you know, asking him to do it faster. So anyway, that's
sure. Yeah. It stresses him out, right? Well, that's very normal. Very normal. Okay, good. No, this will be a good one to talk through today with today's topic. That's a great. Good thing to,
okay.
Or, you know, whatever we take aim on is a great thing to take aim on. But that's
right.
Going to lend itself really well to our topic today. Awesome. Okay. Thank you so much. I see someone has joined us from Virginia.
Yes. Hi, it's Tricia calling. Unfortunately, I can only stay for a half an hour, but my taking aim today is because I listened to a pre-recording and it was made me really think about I need to be more mindful of my triggers. Throughout the day, because the day that I listened to it, I was so mindful of it, and everything seems so much easier. But then today, until you just asked me the question about what are you going to take aim at, it had already elapsed my mind. And so I really want to I want to develop my skill of recognizing these triggers, so when they happen, I can, you know, stop my kind of unproductive reaction to the situation.
Got it. That's a great thing. It's such a challenge, and it's so important. Wonderful. And Tricia, just remind me how old your child is that brought you to us.
Well, I have four children, and I have I have three boys, one girl, the oldest, and then three boys who all have ADHD diagnoses, and they are 16, 11, and 10.
16, 11, and 10. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Got it. Thank you. And the girl does not have ADHD.
They thought she might, but when she was older, but it was more of a kind of a depression anxiety piece, at the time. However, she's one for doing everything quick. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if there's something, but all of our kids are, we have adopted them and, you know, just different things that have, just trying to figure them out. So as they get older and things start presenting itself.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, lots of fun.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Wonderful. Gosh, that's great. All right, cool. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Ileana or Stanley, who wants to go next with taking aim?
He's fine.
This is Ileana. I want to take aim on helping my son when he's playing with others to not be so bossy. It's really hard for him. So, and I don't want it to damage his friendships.
Yeah. Can I ask you a clarifying question?
Sure.
Is it about controlling the situation and doing what he wants to do, or is it just about the tone of the voice and the way he shares information?
He wants to play whatever they're playing. It's mostly, he's a creative child, so it's mostly like he's making up stories and it has to be the way he wants, and if somebody wants their character to be different, or he's designing kind of the set of what their play is going to be, and it has to be a certain way and not anybody else's way.
Gotcha. Okay. Be more flexible. I'm just making myself a little notes here. Cool. Thank you. And then Stanley, was your sustainability?
Do
you want to
one.
Go for it. All right.
Well, I know that when I pick up Martin, the days I pick him up from school, and I know he doesn't like when I ask a lot of questions, and yesterday he got really mad because I asked series of questions and have to remind myself not to. And that's kind of something that I can do to make this situation better with transitions. And just let him veg out. And, you know, I think last week what really helped me is when you said that if he's not doing something, it may be because he can't. Like this idea that he would think of putting the dishes in, rinsing them and putting them in the dishwasher, and that if we've told him 100 times and he still doesn't do it, he just may not have something that triggers his mind at this point on his own to do it. And so I've really eased up on my expectations. And I think another thing I'm aiming for that's similar to the not asking questions is easing up and not being so overbearing and not expecting so much, and things go better.
Wonderful. Yeah, I love the lesson.
Some realistic expectations.
Yeah.
Not putting all that burden on Sylvie with the homework. So.
Yeah, it is. You know, and it's the thing. Go ahead.
This is Ileana. My son is the same way. And my son used to do, like, obviously the same thing. But we've been practicing, like, it's okay for him to have his own time, but, like, perhaps say it in a more respectful way. And so that's what I ask of him. And now, you know, I have to say, at least the last 2 weeks, when I ask himself, he'll say, you know what, can we talk about this later? And that's it.
Ah, that's great. So he's asking you for his time.
Right.
And letting you know that he can't.
I had to teach him, like, what words to actually use, you know, over and over and over again. But that's helpful.
How long do you think it took? I'm just curious, from until he was able to verbalize it himself.
You know, it took a while. But I will say that...
More than a month?
He wasn't on medication before. And that once he started his medication, it became much easier. It clicked. And now he's able to do that regularly.
Oh, I love that. That's awesome. And it's such a good reinforcement, because I know that we all struggle with the decision to medicate our children. And then when we do and it works really well, it's like, oh, thank God. So that's just always nice to have that as a plus in that column. Well, good. Good to know. Cool. It's funny with the teenagers, you know, we only get to see them for short amounts of time, at least in our house. And I'm guilty of that as well, Stan, of trying to load them up with questions so I can feel connected and get as much information out of them in their day in the limited amount of time that we have available. And usually they get upset. Enough questions. I just want to relax. Quit bothering me. So I think it's great
Right?
Yeah, I remember even as a teenager myself, my mother doing that in the morning and hating it. So it's nice to know that happens in other people's houses as well. But that's great, Ileana. I love that you've taught him how to ask for his time and his space, and that he's been able to communicate in a way that's respectful and ask for you to communicate with him a little bit later. That's great. Okay, so we're moving into systems and structures, and I love that you guys touched on the lesson from a couple weeks ago, because it is hands down in my mind the one thing that makes the biggest difference in the way that we parent, and that is, you know, shifting expectations, and it's the one thing that is the easiest to forget. And so as soon as we remember it and we're able to say, oh, it's not a matter of won't, it's a matter of can't, or, you know, I need to meet him where he is, it's so much easier to relax and be like, okay, let's figure out how to do this. And so that flows really nicely into our topic for this week, which is systems and structures. And it's funny, because I think when we start down this path of helping our kids with ADHD and other complex issues kind of manage their lives, or teaching them how to manage their lives, you know, we want to go to systems and structures first. It's the thing that makes the most sense, right? Because, you know, we need a plan. We need to be able to do this, this, and this. And, you know, I'm sure at some point in your parenting career, you have put together the behavior chart. And the behavior chart may be, you know, it's a system or a structure, depending on how you look at it. And I remember with our now 13-year-old, you know, when he was diagnosed with ADHD very young, and we had this gorgeous Excel spreadsheet, you know, with stickers and pictures and all kinds of fancy formulas and, you know, to help us track his behavior, right? So we could give him rewards and we did almost everything wrong that you can possibly do in a behavior chart. It was ridiculously complex. It went all day. You know, we were managing and monitoring his behavior from, you know, the time he woke up to the time he went to bed. It was impossible for him to have a successful day. And at the end of the day, we couldn't even figure out really what we were giving him points for or what the rewards were. It was so confusing. And, you know, the challenge is that if we start with systems and structures, then we have probably missed something. And whatever we try to put in place is not going to be effective because we have to start kind of at the beginning. So we have to start with that positive parenting and shifting expectations and getting curious and figuring out exactly what is going on. Because if we skip over all those steps and go straight to, you know, an app on our phone or whatever, it's not going to work. And so that's why we put systems and structures a little bit further in our program. Because it's not until we get to this point that we're able to be effective. You know, our kids are challenged with so many issues with respect to executive function and working memory. And, you know, like you were saying about, Stan, what were you saying about the, I just totally lost it. It'll come back to me. Well, would they just forget? So it's like, you know, but I was thinking about this morning, my 10-year-old with ADHD went to go pack his lunch and he was convinced that there was this this kind of, you know, cheese or whatever in the refrigerator that he liked. And he has ADHD and it's been, and we did have that in the refrigerator, but it's been about a month ago. But in his mind, because he has working memory challenges, you know, it was still there because it had been there a month ago and he'd already eaten it. And the same, I think, is true for our kids. You know, they think that they've already fed the dog or they think that they've already taken the trash out, maybe because they did it a couple days ago. But that working memory challenge is a very real thing. And Diane always jokes that, you know, the worst thing our kids can do is get something right the first or second time because then we're going to expect them to do it all the time. And in reality, it may be a fluke, and it may take a very long time for them to make that a habit. And that's why when we're thinking about systems and structures, we need to keep those things in mind. You know, what is the level of working memory that we're dealing with? You know, the ADHD brain has the now and the not now, and the not now is completely blind to them. You know, the now is whatever they can see through they talk about the paper towel holder. You know, if you put the paper towel holder up to your eye, not the holder, but the tube. And you look through it, whatever you can see at the end of the tube is the now. And it's a very small amount, right? And everything that you can't see through the paper towel tube is the not now. And that's why it's so challenging for our kids to figure out what to do when, because it's just this amorphous thing that's out there that may or may not have any impact on what they're doing now. And the ADHD brain has no just get it done button, right? So we have to activate the brain before we can even do anything else. And the ADHD brain is activated by things like novelty, you know, things that are new and exciting and fun and scary. You know, procrastination is a strategy. There's a whole host of kids and adults who wait until the last minute to get things done because that is what they need to engage. And it works for them. It's not the healthiest, but it is a strategy that works. That sense of urgency and that emergency and the stress, the pressure. Anything that's interesting, you know, a lot of people like to make, you know, games, make things more fun, a challenge, like I said, with the competition. So these are all things that have to happen in order for our kids to engage. And they're all things that any successful system or structure should have in place. The other piece, again, is that working memory and those executive function skills, that it takes a long time to build a habit and to build that muscle memory. And so we have to keep in mind that, you know, the neurotypical person may need 28 days or, you know, whatever the current research is. It changes. I've seen, you know, 11 times of repetition. I've seen 30 times of repetition to make a habit. But our kids may need twice as long. And so it's about us shifting our expectations as well and being more realistic. So what's kind of coming up for you guys as we're talking about systems and structures?
Well, I'm thinking about how Sylvie built that whole responsibility chart for Martin, and with some involvement, and then he got so frustrated just by seeing it that he crumpled it up. He didn't want to see it anymore. And so she made a valiant attempt to build a system and structure for his weekly chores. And I still believe it's a great idea, but somehow it failed. That's what immediately
hard, right?
My mind.
Yeah. It's that whole thing about, you know, getting buy-in and having our kids work with us to create these charts or reward charts or whatever the tool or system or structure is that you choose. Getting buy-in and having them do it with us is really hard. And then if they're not able to do it, it's hard for them too, because they feel like they're letting us down and we're frustrated because we don't understand why it's not working. And it's a challenge. So Sylvie, what have you done to kind of mediate that or to adjust it?
Oh, I just let it go.
Yeah.
Because we had, Martin was with us when we talked about putting a structure so that he would get to do the chores by himself without us having to remind him every time.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about the different chores, and that was the things that he was already doing, but we would like him to do it on his own. So, but I don't think we got really the buy-in, like you're saying. He was with us. We did the list together. But that was not enough to get him to do it on his own. So I just, when he crumpled it up, I just recycled it. That's all I did.
Yeah. That's probably wise, right? We're just going to start this over. Phase two. I love that.
Okay, let's try something else.
Yeah. And Martin's 14, is that right?
Yes.
14, yeah, that's tough because, you know, the 14 is when they really do want to start trying to do all that stuff themselves, and it's hard to know, that balance of can't versus won't. I think they're with teenagers, there is a little bit of won't. It's typically not in the areas that we think it is.
Right.
That's funny. What's coming up for everybody else?
This is Ileana. I'm trying to figure out how do you use systems and structures for kind of the area I'm trying to take aim on. I'm having a hard time thinking about how.
I think you got to start with some data, probably. Some research and some information gathering, if you haven't already. Is there a certain friend that he's more bossy with or that he's more controlling with? Is there a certain situation? If you were to track, over the course of an hour, if you kept it to a really manageable time, how many times he came across as bossy or, was trying to direct the action, could you track that just to see? And is he aware of what he sounds like? I think there's some more research that needs, and maybe you've done all this stuff already. I'm just asking the questions that come up as we're talking about it. Does he know what a kind voice sounds like? Or that kind of give and take in the social situation can be really challenging for our kids to learn. And they may truly think that they're doing that and not understand when kids react, differently. So I would start there.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like you've got all that information already?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much, I don't see how you develop a system around that, you know, about managing, helping him manage that kind of give and take.
And it may not be something, you know, when we talk about game at the beginning of the conversation.
What's an example of how you would establish a system around that?
Well, so I'm not sure exactly how we would put that together because I'm not sure that I have all the information that, that we need yet. And not always what we take aim on at the beginning of the call is going to be something that lends itself to the topic or to the teaching itself. But our hope is that something will come up along the way that relates to it that you can take away. But, you know, depending on, you know, the system or structure that you come up with, maybe enrolling him in a social skills class. Or it may be, you know, it doesn't have to be a behavior chart per se.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Or it may be just, you know, tracking the amount of times. Like I'm thinking about my, we put together like a sibling behavior chart, you know, like if kids could, and we kept the time frame very manageable, you know, 45 minutes after school, and they were doing their homework at the table, and they just had to not be mean to each other for the 45 minutes. And, you know, we did a baseline, you know, and kind of tracked how many times they were mean to each other throughout the course of the 45 minutes. And the whole goal was to reduce the number of incidents. And if we reduced the number of incidents, you know, over the course of the 45 minutes, then they got the reward of their choice and they had a list of acceptable rewards. And I'm just using this as an example. Not all systems and structures need to be a behavior chart. Medication is a system, you know, is a system and or a structure, depending on how you look at it. Exercise. There's all kinds of ways to implement systems and structures that are not behavior chart based. But once kids are aware of the situation that you're trying to, or the challenge that you're trying to do away with or to get better at or overcome, then you can start tracking that and either work to decrease the incidence in a certain amount of time or come up with something else that helps achieve the goal. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You sound skeptical.
No, I'm just thinking.
Okay.
If I can add something, you mentioned the social skills group.
Mm-hmm.
We did that with Martin, and it was very beneficial. His challenge was to really interact with the other kids when he was younger, and to play with them because he had a tendency to play on his own. So, but the social skills group really worked very well for him.
Good.
It helped him
a lot.
He enjoyed going there.
Good. And was it with other kids that were his age, or was it just one-on-one with a social skills therapist?
It was
the
kids his age, like three or four kids in his group.
Gotcha. Yeah, we've done that as well. Social thinking, these are all things that you can do on your own at home, but the structure of the social thinking program, Michelle Garcia Winner, I'm sure you're familiar with her work, is behind it, and it's just really great stuff. She's got it well packaged for really kids of all ages, and it's very, socialthinking.org or .com. A lot of school systems and school districts are incorporating social thinking into their curriculum. And, you know,
yes,
it comes from
it is school.
What's that?
They teach some social emotional at school as well. But he probably needs more than
the social thinking stuff is something that you can do at home. And it's very, I'm totally blanking on that word. Sorry, it's going to bug me. It's easy for kids of all different ages to get their minds and their arms around. She designed it for different levels, and it's all based sort of on this. It was originally designed for kids who have Asperger's, even though Asperger's is no longer a thing, and now high-functioning autism, to help them to recognize that everyone has thoughts about other people and that there are expected behaviors in certain situations and unexpected behaviors. And for the younger kids, she calls them like red thoughts and blue thoughts, you know, and the red thoughts are the unexpected behaviors or the unexpected responses. And there's like a whole comic book series that she has, and there are characters that are, you know, like super flex, you know, the hero, he's able to be flexible in different situations. And it sounds kind of dorky, but it's actually really, really well done. And so I always recommend social thinking, just if nothing else, to educate yourself on some different ways. And you may find out that there are some social thinking groups in your area. She does have trained instructors throughout the nation. So that might be worth looking into. And it is very beneficial, if nothing else, just to help kids recognize how they sound and how they come across. And even if they can't recognize how other people are reacting to them, they can sort of just, it's almost like a system and structure. I know this is how I'm supposed to behave in this situation. And it just, for whatever reason, helps them kind of mimic the behavior until they can actually recognize that it's making a difference. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's good. I'll look into it. Thank you.
Yeah, sure. Tricia, did you leave us? I think you did. Okay. Stan, what's coming up for you?
Nothing right now.
Nothing new. Okay. All right. So, Sylvie, if we're thinking about ways to help Martin get his homework done more quickly,
mm-hmm.
do you want to kind of walk through that for a little while?
Yes, sure. Sure.
Okay.
Because you did mention procrastination as a strategy, and I think that's definitely one of Martin's strategy, that the urgency makes him do things, but at the same time, the urgency makes him anxious. So.
Yeah.
It's not really a good strategy because he becomes really touchy when, you know, there is this urgency to finish, and he gets all panicked also. So it,
mm-hmm.
it gets him going, but at the same time it gets him panicked. So he's not as
right.
you know, as productive
not
as
effective.
He could be.
Yeah. That's that fine balance, right? On that stress response curve of not
yes.
going too high, not being too stressed out, but being just stressed out enough to be productive.
Right.
Remind me, is Martin on medication?
Yes, but not in the evening when he does his homework. During the day at school,
okay.
yes.
Okay. What might be something else that this is me stepping outside of me being a coach and just sharing something that worked for us.
Mm-hmm.
Our son does not take medication after school either, and usually it's worn off by about 4.
Right.
And so
mm-hmm.
if he hasn't gotten his homework done by 4, we don't even try. We just,
oh, okay.
if he wants to try to work on it, great. But if not, then he gets up in the morning and does it. We give him his medication about 45 minutes before we need him to get up, so it's already on
mm-hmm.
board. And historically, things that would have taken, you know, an hour and a half to get done without medication on board in the evening, he can knock out in like 15 minutes in the morning. And I don't
yeah.
I don't know if something like that might be a successful strategy for Martin if he gets up earlier or how that works in your house.
It doesn't really,
so.
Because I've tried to give him, he takes a low dosage of Focalin,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, is really the right doses for during the school, but in the evening, I've tried to give him after he takes a snack because, you know, it cuts the appetite. So,
yeah.
It hasn't really helped much. It helps on the weekends. It helps, I think, because he can take during the day. And
mm-hmm.
and he knows that there is a bracket where, you know, when the medicine is acting, there's a bracket where
mm-hmm.
this perfect time for him to really be productive. He knows exactly when, he can recognize that, okay, this is, now it's really working and he can really concentrate.
Mm-hmm.
And so on weekends, sometimes we do, if he has a like a writing assignment to do, because that's really the difficult thing for him, then we give him the medicine, and it definitely helps. But in the evening, it really doesn't help. It just, you know, once the medicine starts to go away, it makes him cranky, and so it really it hasn't paid off to use it. So
in the evening, okay. So what's another? When you've gotten curious about the homework, is there? Does he have accommodations for a decreased homework load at school or anything like that?
Well, he has accommodations, but not for decreased homework. No. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And you know, the amount of homework is manageable.
They are not
really pushing too hard on homework. So it's just that he interrupts himself constantly. So it takes really a long time to do it. So I've tried, and sometimes that works. I've tried to tell him, okay, I'm putting the timer on, and you know, for 20 minutes, you really work on it. You stay on it for 20 minutes. Then you get a 15-minute or 10-minute. It's usually a 15-minute break. And then another 20-minute block. So it has worked sometimes, but it doesn't work all the time.
It doesn't stress him out. The timer doesn't stress him out.
No, it used to. It used to say, yeah, he used to say, oh, no, this is just rushing me and I can't do it. So he's got used to that. So I've tried that. And then what else? I also use the, because, you know, he has a phone and he has games on his phone. So I also say, well, you know, if you do this, like in 20 minutes, then you get 15 minutes to play on your phone. And that has worked, but it's not, you know, it's not constant. It's not, I find something that works and then it doesn't work anymore. So it's
yeah,
not,
well,
you know, you need to find the thing that really works every time.
Go ahead. My son's only 9, but he does get a fair amount of homework as well. And what I try to do, his medication though wears off probably around 5:30. So I have to get it in before then. That's a big challenge, right? Because he wants a break. But I have noticed though, if I go past the time of the medication, it's like impossible. I can't. I mean, I'm almost like, when I think of what you guys have been teaching us, I'm asking him to do something he simply can't do.
Right.
So then as he gets older and as I hear you guys, I'm just thinking I really may have no other option because it's really hard for him. I watch him. It's like impossible to get the child to like sit down and everything that you're saying, like the water, the bathroom, that's exactly what
I'm ours too.
The this, the that, the fly on the wall. It's like, oh my God.
Yes.
So good. So I wonder if like we're asking them to do things they simply can't do without their medication.
I think that's correct. But I think, as Sylvia was saying, it doesn't always work. You know, sometimes, for a certain percentage, the evening or afternoon booster does not provide the effect that we would hope. I'm sure it's different for everyone. I mean, it is different for everyone. It just depends on, you know, your metabolism and kind of all the things that are going on in each kid's body in the evenings. And
it's really... he can't be done with his homework when he leaves school, because he doesn't have a lot of time during the day to work on the homework. And then, of course, he has sports every day. It's a boys' school, so they have sport every day for an hour. And that's, you know, that's part of the school day.
Which is great, right?
30 is done with the sport. But this year he's joined the robotics team. So days a week finishes at 5, but that's, you know, it's a good thing for him to be in the robotics team. But of course that pushes down the time to, you know, when he can do his homework.
Right.
So
I wonder, do they ever allow them time to finish their homework during the day? I mean, I think
there's not much time built in. They have a 30-minute study hall from 3:30 to 4, so that's after school. But that's not much, and Martin doesn't use that time very well. That's about it. I mean, yeah, they do have some periods sometimes that are free during the day, but I never know when, because these periods can be used for an assembly or for advisory. So there are some blocks that can be free sometimes, but it's not on a regular basis.
Gotcha. Have you found that does he work better having a body double, someone sitting there with him? Does that typically help him either stay on task or
yes,
help him get
and
going?
We have a tutor coming once a week to work with him, and she stays for 2 hours, and that works really well. He works very well with her.
Wonderful.
Yes, yeah, and, you know, it still takes time, but he is really doing his stuff, and there's still stuff to do when she leaves. It's not like he manages to accomplish his whole homework with her, and she stays for two hours. But there's still work after that. But it does, you know, it really works well with her, and so the other evenings it's mainly I who stays around, and but you know I'm doing something else in the, you know, I'm in the same room, but I'm doing something else. So it doesn't work the same way as having the tutor work with him.
Right.
And
with
also
the teenagers too, I think anytime that it can be someone who's not the parent for whatever reason,
yeah, it definitely
that can make a big difference. Also, yeah, go ahead.
Absolutely. He doesn't fight with her, but he fights with me.
Right.
over the homework and, you know, yeah. So definitely that there's definitely a different dynamic.
Uh-huh. And so what would happen if he didn't get the homework done?
Well, then he gets a study hall, what is it called? They call that a no homework study hall. So he has, let's see.
I wonder if they would give him like homework study hall, or I don't know. I wonder if somehow this school can help.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I you know, for that half hour that he has after school, and he can't use it that much because of robotics, unfortunately. But I had asked that he go to the school's school learning specialist because she has a space for kids who need, you know, to be in a quiet space. And so I had asked for him to go there and to make sure that he does some homework. But you know, it didn't make a huge difference. So, so that was that was something I had tried to do. I think it's, you know, finding some motivation to get him to do it faster.
And maybe faster isn't necessarily the word, because it's just get it done, right? I mean, it's not.
To get to do it in a straightforward line, or I don't know, you know, without lots of turns.
Right. I mean, so part of me is wondering, and as I'm listening to all of us talk and I'm kind of listening to my own thoughts, I'm recognizing how hard it is to stay out of the solution or to you know, to prevent, and I'm just as guilty of this, you know, of throwing out options of saying, why don't we try this or try this or try this? And really what it sounds like is that there's still more research to be done.
Right.
But we haven't figured out, you know, what is going to be the thing that's the most successful. And what if you did nothing? I mean, that's a strategy. What if you said, you know, check your chart or check your homework list or whatever, and you didn't say go do your homework or, you know, kept reminding him to do things, just said go check whatever. Dan, I'm thinking about you with respect to the homework list.
Sometimes I get frustrated because he's like resisting getting to it. And I say, okay, I want to do your homework, don't do it. You know, that's it. I mean, it's your call. It's not me. I'm not responsible for your homework. You are. If you don't want to do it, you don't do it. And then he starts doing his homework.
Interesting. Yeah, you know what? Tell you?
I sometimes do that too if it's after 5:30. And
what?
I sometimes so Lucas's medication wears off around 5:30, and if he starts doing his homework after that, I say the same thing. You know, it's really your decision. And sometimes he chooses not to do it.
And
in the morning. In the morning, though, I'll ask him, hey, did you finish your homework? And he'll say, no. And I said, oh, how do you feel? Are you okay with that, going to school without your homework done? And then he runs and he gets it and he does it in, like, 5 minutes. Just like
that's what I was saying earlier,
It's like that
amazing.
The urgency, that red zone of, oh, my God. And they
And, you know, there's one evening where I was just tired, too, really exhausted. And I said to him, you know, that's it. I am going to bed. You finish your homework. You don't finish it. That's your own decision. But I am going to bed. I cannot stay here waiting for you to be done. So I went to bed. And the next morning he had done his homework.
I'm just curious about that. I think you're going, I mean, there's something else there, and I don't know if it's he needs to connect with you on some level or if they're, you know, he's looking for some sort of reinforcement within your interaction or what it is. But and sometimes it's like a value conflict for us as parents, you know, what are we okay with? Are you okay with, you know, and at 9, Eliana, it may be easier to be okay with not doing your homework than it is at 14 or 15.
Exactly.
Or maybe not. You know, it may be the same.
I agree.
But I think we have to decide as parents, you know, what we're okay with, you know, and if in the long run, you know, we focus on the process or progress and not necessarily the outcome, you know, so what if he ends up getting a C or, you know, whatever in a certain class, but yet he is doing the homework without me having to sit there and nag him for 3 hours every night. Are we okay with that? And maybe that's the next step. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I think that's definitely part of it because, I mean, and I know that I'm not okay for him not to do his homework and to get a C. So I know that. And he's not either. I mean, he wants to make the dean's list. So, you know, he wants to do well, which is good.
And
you
all of our kids are really smart, right?
What?
I mean, he's a really smart kid. Most of our kids are very, very smart. Yeah.
Right. No, he's smart. There's no doubt. It's just that, you know. And also, when there is a homework, I mean, there was a homework that he really loved. It was in English, and it was like building on things, like, you know, showing what happens, like the consequences of a consequence and another consequence. So, like, building on something that happens that causes this and that causes that and that. And he did it, like, so fast. And it was really, it was so well put together and very fast. So I know that when it's something that he really you know, likes and see the purpose or something like that, then yeah, sure. Then he does it fast.
Yeah. Yeah.
He does it without interrupting himself. That's what I should say.
Okay. So this sounds like a good point to kind of stop and maybe check it out, because I think we've gotten, if nothing, I mean, a lot of good information and maybe some ideas for some next steps. So, you know, we ask the same four questions at the end of every call, and I'm not sure how Diane does it, but typically I just read you guys the questions, and then you can take a few seconds to think about your answers and chime in as we do the checkout. And the importance of the checkout is, you know, just verbalizing and kind of processing out loud some of the things that we've talked about or what, you know, whatever may be coming up for you. And so the questions are, you know, what did I focus on or pay most attention to today? What's my aha or my takeaway for today? And you don't have to have like an Oprah aha moment. It can just be like, oh, I forgot about that and you reminded me and that was a great aha. What's a realistic action step for you to take? And what do you need to set yourself up for success with that action? So what did I focus on or pay most attention to today? What's my aha or takeaway for today? What's a realistic action step for me to take? And what do I need to set myself up for success with this action? Or do I have what I need even better? So just jump in when you're ready.
I think I don't really know. I'm just
figuring. You don't know what you focused on today?
No, I know what I focused on. I just don't know what I need to do to take action.
Okay. Well, so we talked about social thinking. Maybe your realistic action step is just doing some research on social thinking.
Okay. Yeah. It doesn't get me to my end game right away, but.
Well, darn it. Don't you hate that?
Yes. I can look into that.
Okay, and I can help you with that action step by posting the link to the website in the parent forum.
Oh, thanks so much.
Yeah, no problem at all. We should get a referral fee from them because I send a lot of people their way. We don't get a referral fee for them or anything like that. They just do a really, really good job. And like I said, it's very accessible was the word that I was looking for kids of all ages and parents as well. Very easy to understand, very easy to walk through at home. And it just makes a lot of sense on a level that I think most of us don't think about. So there, what was your aha? Did you have an aha or a takeaway for the day,
Ileana? Well, the when you talked about the working memory as a real issue, I don't think I ever considered it that way, because Martin has a great memory, and when he tells me, you know, I don't remember, I barely believe that, because I think, well, he has a great memory, so how come he doesn't remember? Mm-hmm. So I think that's something I had not really looked at, that his working memory could be really affected by the ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
Cause sometimes, you know, I tell him, like, for example, I tell him, I'll pick you up. Like yesterday, I told him it was his dad who was picking him up. Well, then at the end of the day, he texts me and says, "Where are you?"
So I reminded him
that it was his dad who was picking him up. And I'm thinking, and for me, when something like this happens, is the explanation is he was not listening when I told him. But maybe it's the working memory. I don't know. Would that be?
Yeah, I bet it is. It's almost like a muscle memory, right? You usually pick him up, so he's waiting for you to pick him up.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, you know,
so anyway, so that's my take. My takeaway or my aha moment, because I never really thought of that.
Good.
The realistic
action?
It's really to keep thinking of, you know, other ways, because I tried a lot of things and sometimes they work, sometimes they don't work. So to you know, like, you know, you say maybe to disengage instead of being so engaged, to disengage and to trust him that he will do it. Once I'm not there to push him, and he will push himself.
And if not, then that's just more information, right? Then you
right,
know he's
exactly.
not there yet.
I love that. You know, he knows that he has to deal with the teachers the next day, so
right.
that would be his motivation. So, so I guess, yeah, I think maybe to, for me to instead of being there, reminding him to be, to get back on task and all of that, then disengage. I mean, not to be aloof or anything, but if I want to go to bed, then I go to bed.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's great. I like that. So in the moment, do you have everything that you need to remind yourself? You know, when you're sitting there with them and it's, you know, 10:30 and you're like, this is ridiculous. Why are we still doing this? How are you going to remind yourself to be like, okay, you know, you got it from here. I'm not going to get involved.
Yeah, I think it's not reminding myself. It's more, you know, like giving me the, I don't know if the word permission is the right word, but it's like letting go, because it's hard for me to just go to bed and think, oh, is he going to do his homework or not? You know, it's like it's like I feel responsible for him homework. So I think that's more that, you know, to just really allow me to go to bed and, you know, whatever happens, happens.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, good. Well, let us know how it goes. I'm always curious to hear.
Okay.
You know, when we put our action steps into place.
And Stanley,
you know,
wants to say something also, okay?
Oh, yes, I'm sorry, Stanley, go ahead. Of course, we have time.
Well, there's a couple of things, like the, the working memory was a real revelation, and I connected that with when I ask him a series of questions, and it's like pouring a gallon of water into a one-quart container. I think it just overflows his working memory, and that's why he's so turned off by my asking a lot of questions. And my realistic action is to, with this awareness, to not do it.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that last weekend, and Sylvie works a lot on weekends as a librarian, and I convinced Martin to come play squash with me, because his sport is squash. And last year, we signed up to be members of the squash club where his school practices. And so I took it up too, and we played on weekends. And so he wasn't really willing to, but I convinced him to, and then we had a great time together. And
wonderful.
So it may not be possible to go every weekend because he doesn't like routine very much, but I'll try to go like most weekends one day with him to play squash, because it really helped build our relationship to do that in a really nice way. And one of the things that I have a real problem with is that he seems kind of resistant to having this sort of prototypical father-son relationship of, you know, playing catch with the ball or practice sport or doing things together. And and I felt that this really created a bond, and I'd like to continue it, but without being overly pushy about it, because he hates that. So I think that's one thing. And then the other thing that you mentioned earlier is that the systems and structures is not just the checklists, but also the medication. And I was thinking, like, I think you said exercise. And sort of having the big picture in all of this. And throughout the whole homework discussion, I was thinking about how when I was Martin's age, I was much worse off than him. I would watch my tropical fish swim back and forth and do all these, and all these evasive actions to not do my homework. And I was just alone in my room, and my Mom paid no attention to my doing homework, and only when I was in my second year of college did I suddenly get extremely interested in studies and what I was studying, and became like a super hardworking student. So, and I feel guilty about it. I think Martin's ADHD may come from me, but also realizing that as he gets older, he might get more organized as his brain gets more developed.
Exactly. I love that. And don't ever feel guilty about that, because that's just the way the world is, right? You know, my kids got their ADHD for me, and that's okay. But you're right. The ADHD brain does catch up. It just takes longer. It takes longer than we would like it to sometimes, but they do catch up. And look how great you turned out, right? And your mom didn't have to fight with you all through high school. So I think that's a great point to end on, is that at the end of the day, the most important thing is our relationship with our kids, right? And, you know, if we're able to stomach C's or B's or, you know, whatever your threshold of acceptance is academically, and maintain a positive, supportive, self-esteem encouraging and building relationship with your child, then you absolutely won. So I think we'll just stop there, if that's cool with everybody. All right, guys, I will post the social thinking information in the forum. If you have any questions ever, post something in the forum or the Lifeline, and tag Elaine, Diane, or myself. You can always send us a quick email or a text or give us a ring. If you have further questions or if you need to schedule a little one-on-one time, you can sign up for a sanity session. Otherwise, I look forward to, hopefully I'll talk to some of you on a different call at some point in the future. And if not, it's been a pleasure working with you today. Have a great rest of the week.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yep, take care. Bye-bye.
The moderator has left the conference.